Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
Hear the word.
Thank you, Radio Pulpit.
On 657 AM.
Thank you, Radio Pulpit. I've been singing this song after praying. Oh, thank you very much. God bless you. God bless you, Sister Sboet. Thank you.
May the Lord bless you too, Mankosi. Thank you so much for always tuning in and listening to Radio Pulpit, choosing us as your number one radio station. And yes, family, if you just joined us, it is Heart to Heart with you up until 3 o'clock with me, Sibongile Mofokeng. And at 3 o'clock, when I say goodbye, Germany, Yon else will be coming through with something else. And he will be with you up until 4 o'clock. Then Ayanda takes you through with a Spectrum. And after Spectrum, you have Dwayne on Mondays on sports. And now I am so honored. I am joined by Dr. Semi Mokoena. We have started. He started something. He started trouble. Dr. Semi, how are you?
Yes, it's Bongile. Good. Good day to you and family. It's again a privilege to be with you and family, and we're excited.
You started trouble. You started talking about some things that we don't want to talk about. And Dr. Semi calls it the roommate syndrome, calls it the roommate phase in marriage, when people now, the spark is no longer there. There are no butterflies around that time. And you mentioned the courses and all. And we have started talking about how to deal with it. But just in a nutshell, just in about one step backwards, for somebody who is not here with us, what is the roommate syndrome? And then we continue on how to deal with the roommate syndrome or roommate phase in marriage.
Yes. Again, greetings to family. Indeed, we have started a very, touchy, sensitive subject. I realized as I went along that there's a lot to unload,
yeah,
and I keep seeing queries and questions around it.
Yeah.
So just actually, we started by defining what the roommate syndrome is. And if family would remember, we did say that the roommate syndrome is, it could be a phase or a syndrome because it encompasses quite a lot of issues in it. But the basic part of it is when you treat each other as strangers or roommate, where there is no longer emotional, spiritual connection. You just go through the motions of being together. For an example, it's all about who's taking care, who's taking their children to school today, who's driving which car, but there's nothing about who we are and what we are doing. And we feel the spark is gone, or we feel we are no longer together. Yes, physically we might be, but we are not finding each other, especially that emotional connection is lull, is gone. There is emotional numbness in either side, where even if, you know, you say, I love you, or she says, I love you, but it carries nothing to it. It's just an empty waste because that connection is gone. And I was reading some article just this weekend that described that almost 70% of people who are divorced, they describe the emotional disconnection as the main reason for the divorce, more than the infidelity that we usually talk about, more than even the physical abuse, all the grounds for divorce that we usually talk. But you find that a lot of people, two important issues that came out is what we call irreconcilable differences, but also emotional disconnection. And I think maybe in the next part we'll talk about this irreconcilable differences and what it means. But I think it's to say that roommate syndrome is all about that disconnection. And we discussed some of the causes in terms of being careful of small things, that roommate syndrome is a gradual process. It's not an immediate, it's not something that just happens, but it grows over time and manifests in in various ways. We did give almost 8 or 10 ways of how to see, or the symptoms that manifest when we have this roommate syndrome.
Mm. And you hear somebody saying, "Sesekholo ke bophelo." May the Lord help us. Some of us who are saying those words and we are in blissful marriages, I believe one should stop saying that, because and also not working on your marriage. Somebody said, Dr. Semi, some people are lazy to work on their marriages. How true is that, before we can go to where we are today, reigniting the flame, bringing that back the spark in your marriage, the S-P-A-R-K in your marriage. So how true is it that some people are very lazy to work on their marriages and relationships?
A lot of times, Sis Bongile, in my experience, really, with dealing with couples, it's not necessarily laziness. Again, what we term as laziness come from various issues. For an example, that emotional disconnection, the repeated hurts, failures, pains, lead to a person. There is a concept in what we call four horsemen that predict divorce, that is called a stonewalling, where people just block things. They don't want to discuss. So it seems as if they are lazy, but in actual fact, they have blocked things, so they blocked their emotional connection with others. They have blocked the energy to work on marriage. It's not necessarily a lot of time laziness. It will really be unfair that you go to so much length, first to pursue a person, secondly, to spend so much resources to end up, marrying them, and then investing so much in the process, and then just, we say that they are lazy. It's very rare. Yes, there are incidents of laziness, but a lot of times that laziness is just a symptom of the underlying issues.
All right. So let's go to today. Where do we begin when we are reigniting the flame back in our marriages, bringing back the spark?
So it's been exciting for me to really prepare and again remind myself of this, because in order to deal with this roommate syndrome, we again need to reignite that passion. Mm-hmm. Paul tells Timothy to fan the flame of the gift of God in him. And here we are encouraging to fan that flame of the gift of love that God has given you, or of the gift that your partner is, that God has given you. Because a lot of times, Sis Bongile, we think that once the wedding has passed, things are automatic. I'm using words very carefully. That once the wedding has happened, which is the big event we've been planning, that love is automatic, romance is automatic. And a lot of couples get surprised in premarital, but also those who did not have the proper premarital, or who did not have opportunity of premarital post-marriage.
Yeah.
That it's now you put work. And sometimes I even say you put more work than you did premarital, because now premarital, the person was a bit far from you.
So you'd grow fond of them, miss them.
But now in marriage, they are here, and you have to plan with them around. You have to make effort with them around. You sleep in the same bed with them, but you still need to make effort for them to go and to feel loved. So that's the important part that I think we need to really talk about, this issue of just rekindling the passion in marriage. And I use the acronym of SPARK, or rekindling the spark, which is S-P-A-R-K, to rekindle this concept. And we must remove the misnomer that Christian marriage must not be exciting.
Yeah.
Or must not be romantic.
Yeah, because the picture that is painted to our young people, the picture that is painted to those who are outside, is that we only pray in the marriage. We go to church, we come back. That's where it's all at. Where people don't talk about kissing, people don't talk about chivalry, and you hear people talking, the world talking about love languages, and you're like, we don't hear these in the church being spoken about. In a way, what we admire, we just see a happy couple go greeting, but they sit together and then they take care of their children together, they go home. But there's nothing more that we see, that we are taught. So it doesn't, I'm sorry to all the couples that are married who are in Christ. Sometimes it doesn't look appealing to somebody who's outside.
It's very true, Mrs. Bangela. And I think that's really my passion these days, to really work on how we present marriage. You know, it really makes it scary. But also it I think sometimes it leads, especially to the young people, to think that it might be a mistake to marry.
Yeah, it looks like it's boring.
Yeah, that I don't want this boring, because obviously the influence of what they see on television, what their friends say, makes as if God does not want a good marriage for us or a passionate marriage for us. And I think we need to really dispel that. You know, yeah. I read at last time, Ecclesiastes 9:9, that says you must enjoy your wife.
Yes.
It's in God's plan that you must enjoy your wife. And that verse even further says, specifically speaking to the husband, it further says, because this is your reward for your life. Mm. This is your allotment. This is what God gives you. So you might wait for something better in heaven when God has given you to enjoy here. So we must really emphasize to Christian couple that, and sometimes especially, let me, even go a bit, you know, traditionally and also racially, you find that our black, especially, you know, couples, even the holding hands is a problem.
Yo.
The sitting even, in church.
Even to say, I love you, Dr. Mukwena.
It's a problem. I see it in couples fellowship sometimes. When I say, kiss your partner, that you realize that they are in trouble because they feel they are in the holy place.
Yes.
It's as if it does not belong in this holy place. When in actual fact, the Bible, in the book even of Corinthians, it says, when it talks about women, how they submit, and it talks about the issue of how we deal with our partners, it talks about that even angels are learning from us.
Eish.
So the intimacy of marriage and the intimacy of partners is also a lesson, angels, on how to be intimate in worship with the Lord. So we must never shy from really be displaying a passionate and a loving and intimate marriage, because that's also what it represents in terms of Christ and the church.
Okay, let's go through the steps of bringing back the spark, holding hands. Some their wives or husbands just said, I love you, when they were at the altar 10 years ago. They've never said that ever again afterwards. They don't even go out on dates. Let's bring back the spark, Dr. Mukwena.
We definitely must. And I think I always, family would know me, I use acronyms, abbreviations, so that you can remember when you relate to your partner or when you discuss, it makes it easy. So we are using the spark, the S-P-A-R-K. So the first part of reconnecting or rekindling the passion in marriage, or fanning to blaze, or to a flame your marriage, is the spiritual connection, because the Bible tells us, unless the Lord builds the house, those that build it, they are building it in vain. Unless the Lord guards the house, those who guard, whether they guard through the night or so, the Bible says they are still doing it in vain. So a lot of times the roommate syndromes, especially for Christian couples, starts when our spiritual connection is not proper or in place or has diminished.
Hmm.
And that's why we need to revive it. So the foundation of friendly marriage really still starts with a shared spiritual connection. And that's why the Bible encourages us that we must be careful who we marry, because this determines and sets the stage of our marriage. It will be very difficult to sometimes share your intimate moment with a person who's not saved because of what the Word of God says in relation to what their tradition says, what the Word says, what research says. So that's why the first part we must revive is really a spiritual connection. And Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So the cord of three strands, first, you know, it talks about the two, which is the couple, but God being the third in this marriage. And here we're talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And quickly, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is important because while we talk about Ephesians 5, from verse 22 or 21 up until verse 33, we don't realize that there is Ephesians 16, that talks about that we must not be drunk with wine, we must be filled with the Spirit. So we are unable, Sispongile, to submit, as the Bible say, as wives, or to love as Christ loves the church as husband, if we are not Spirit-filled. This is a function of the Spirit, and that's why it's important that that be taken care of. So in the spiritual, we must cultivate intimacy with God individually and as a couple. I attended a CFI, Couples Foundation International, some time back, and one of the big issues that kept, you know, being spoken about was, you know, is it right to pray with your spouse or pray alone? And it was so interesting to realize that even, you know, our experts struggle to come up with that. I think it's a must to pray as a couple. We might not pray always as a couple, but we must pray as a couple. One, because we are one before God. And we require that unity. I was speaking about unity in this, the power of oneness in marriage. So we really need to do that. We must invite God to be the center. So if we want our passion to really, or to get out of this rut of the roommate syndrome, we really need to start working on a spiritual connection. We must start having family devotion. We must start talking to each other, speaking words of affirmation, prophetic words to each other, reaffirming each other spiritually, praying for each other, and praying with each other. It's very
important. Dr. Mukwena, I think it needs to also to be fixed when people are in courtship, right? Because if we didn't pray together in courtship, it's going to feel odd and strange. Now you want me to pray with you, mara
negi tapela. That's very true. That's very true. A lot of times in premarital couples, the sessions that I have, they know always the one of the few questions that I ask besides how old are they is, what have you prayed for your partner? What have you said regarding the future, regarding you, regarding your partner? Because really, you must learn from there. And the problem is sometimes your partner is not even prayerful. And you don't realize it because you pray separately. Only when now you are staying together, I nearly mentioned an example, I'll get in trouble. The only now that when you are staying together, you realize when you say, let us pray, and your partner is in trouble to say
And then
we pray correctly and come together. And sometimes it's because we used to praying against each other when we are in isolation. You are always praying for the weakness of your partner, for the weakness of the marriage. So when you are praying together, you are forced to pray with each other and pray for the strength. Because you don't want your partner, if in case they are listening, to hear that you are complaining rather than praying to God about them. So really, it's an important part. I think that's a very, very excellent point to raise, that it does not just start in marriage. It really becomes difficult when it starts in marriage. I still have couples who are 30 years, 40 years in marriage, who have never or still struggle to pray with each other. And as upset or amazing as it is, I'm telling you the truth that I've met several couples who say, I can't pray with my wife or I can't pray with my husband. But I think it's a must. It's something that we must. Obviously, we are saying we must pray individually. And I think people who are praying stronger individually, they are able to pray together as a couple because they've developed a relationship with the Lord, a conversation with the Lord, that they are not scared what the other partner will say when they pray. But Those that are not praying are the ones who have problem when they have to pray together because they have not developed the communication, the language that is required.
And I believe that then it also helps one to grow in their spiritual journey with the Lord when we are doing it as a couple. It brings you to a point where you have to pray and you have to pray about it, seek the Lord together. So it helps. And I agree with then people who say marriage helps you grow.
Definitely. And I think it's a big issue. We're talking about this weekend in the conference that I attended. We'll talk about this, the pillar that we call character development. One of the first thing from marriage, from the complementary purpose that God created in marriage, the next step is character development. And if that does not happen, it puts a marriage in what I call arrested development, that the marriage, like a child, in terms of getting to the next milestone, you are stuck fighting over a lot of simple issues because you are not developing. It is a must, and I think it's one of the points that we'll talk about here on the Spark. It is a must that there must be growth in marriage. There's a real big issues when marriages do not grow because it means the individuals within marriage are not growing themselves.
Okay, so that was the S on the Spark, and now we're moving to the P.
The P is the prioritization or the priority in terms of the intimacy. Here, one of the first laws I teach in terms of marriage is where the Bible says, therefore, a man shall leave, and that leaving, I always, for people to understand, use it as priority or prioritizing your partner. One of the things that really causes disconnection and that causes a roommate is that lack of prioritization. And I always make an example with Jesus when he says to his disciple for you to be my disciple, you must hate your father and mother. And he described others. And a lot of times I explain this, we think that he's advocating hatred, but when you read and study the word, is the issue of priority. What he's saying is that the way you prioritize me, it means others come second. So another person might view as if you hate them because of the way you prioritize them. And I think that's also very important in marriage, that when we say leave, you must prioritize your partner such that others feels, you don't hate people, I'm not advocating hatred, feels as if you are hating. It's not that you are hating, but they know that their priority is God is your partner and the rest follows. And here we even include children, which is a big issue, especially with women because of their nature. Character that God has created within them, that it's very important that you prioritize your relationship. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. So that level of Peter's talking about of depth, that's what we are talking about. And that intimacy, when you say prioritize intimacy, we're not just talking about physical intimacy. When God allows, we'll talk about six dimensions of intimacy. But part of what we are saying is emotional intimacy. Prioritize that your partner is well emotionally, that they are up emotionally, they are settled emotionally. Prioritize their intellectual intimacy. Prioritize their a spiritual intimacy. So it's very important that you prioritize that. And part of how we prioritize is quality time is important. Our world today is really stealing on quality time of couples. And as a result, we really need to put time on this. I usually say to couples, put specific times. Just like you schedule meetings, just like you schedule church services, just like schedule your quality time at least once a week. One of the research says marriage requires at least 8 hours in a week for to be strengthened and grow. And it says at least 15 minutes of intimate conversation per day. is required, where we intimately inquire of each other, where are you emotionally, where are you spiritually, where are you intellectually, and connect at that point. Because sometimes our battle is not necessarily what we are facing, is other issues around us that we are not intimately connected. So it's very important that we create that quality time that is free of distraction, and that we nurture this emotional bond. One of the issues that I'm learning now, and what allowing we'll talk about it sometimes, is identifying or developing what you call love maps, knowing the areas that you connect, where your spouse is, by knowing who they are, where they come from, what's their ambition. So when you know these love areas, it's easy to connect, to know that, for an example, they love sports. So the first entrance into our intimate conversation is, what did you, how was the sports today? Fortunately, I hope your spouse does not support Chiefs like me, because the radio conversation will go down.
You'll be supporting, okay, I'm zipping my mouth.
So it could be a way of connecting when you know these love maps to identify. So this quality time revolves around growing this bond. So it's really, and also part of prioritizing is prioritizing communication. And as we say, remove distraction. You can't communicate with your partner intimately while you are on social media.
Yeah.
Or while even, I must emphasize, while you are reading a Bible. There must be a time to read the Bible, but when we connect emotionally, there must be a point where we interact, and even if we interact about scripture, but the focus is on your spouse or on your partner, and communicate honestly the desires, the needs, the dreams, and continually check our trust level to work on it. So that's priority. Prioritizing intimacy is extremely important.
I wanted to ask Dr. Semi to quickly run to the A before I take a break. I see some questions coming. I wonder if we'll be able to even finish today. But yeah, the A?
The A is affection, appreciation, and adventure. So it's triple A. It's not just one A. It's important. Proverbs 3:3 says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. So it's very important. So you must express affection. And I think here we must talk to men. Men struggle a lot with affection. I usually explain affection is everything that you do before you when you are intending to serve in the bedroom ministry without necessarily being physical. Everything that you do, you know how you pamper your spouse, how you take care of them, the language you use to them. So it's very important that we learn, express affection, but also affection is expressed by appreciation. Oh, appreciation is so important in marriage. For some people, this is the love language, to appreciate. Appreciate that they are still with you. Appreciate that they cook for you. Appreciate that they are by your side. Appreciate that they listen. Appreciate how they lead you. I must admit that my wife does this very well. And sometimes at times when I really need it, it's important. It builds intimacy, but it reignites the marriage. So it's important that we do that and celebrate each other's strengths. And small, meaningful gestures. Sometimes we wait up until we can go to Dubai, when we can go to the restaurant next door, or we can have something in our bedroom, just put a bit of flowers, petals, whatever that you can do. But be adventurous. That's why I'm saying we cannot do the same thing over and over again, especially for men. It gets boring. So we need to find ways. So you can't buy flowers always. So you must find a way. Be adventurous. And also allow women, allow, you know, the adventure, because men get bored very quickly. So don't always fight the adventure. Allow it, because it will reignite the passion.
Shouldn't it be communicated to us first? Skanchapa ka surprise ini. Mputse pele. Butjisa.
It should be especially unless if it's a surprise, I usually say it a surprise you must research it in case to avoid you surprising yourself. So you set in conversation, how would you feel if I booked us at a hotel? Just ask, I heard Sis Bongile saying this, or Pastor Lucas Nkosi saying this. What do you think about it? So just create it so that when it's a surprise, it's not something that will surprise yourself.
Okay.
So really, but be adventurous. It's very important.
Let's take a break. We're coming back with Dr. Semi Mukwena, and we are dealing with bringing back. Actually, we are reigniting the flame, the spark back in marriage. We are still on the roommate syndrome, the roommate face. Those are the sounds of Nqubeko Mbatha featuring his wife, Ntokozo, in the background. It's harvest time.
You're at 657 AM, radio caring, 24 hours a day.
Well, there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer requests by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
Many people across South Africa are being blessed and encouraged by the Radio Pulpit devotional magazine, The Word for Today. This publication places the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hands of more than 100,000 people every day, inspiring every person, from the professional businessman to the needy person who lives on the streets. Each edition contains daily scripture-based devotionals and inspiring articles to help you grow spiritually. The booklet is given with the compliments of Radio Pulpit, but your donation, large or small, will help us to print the next edition and continue being the hope of the gospel to a world in desperate need. The Word for Today. Get yours today on 012-334-1200 or subscribe online at www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Yongeza ilizwi lakho kweli lethu. Sikumamele yaye sifuna ukuva izimvo zakho. Ungathumela kugospel@radiopulpit.co.za okanye uthumele umyalezo wakho kuWhatsApp ku 082-657-2729.
It's harvest time. From one couple to many other couples out there, as we are talking to couples, married couples out there, with Dr. Semi Mukwena right here on Heart to Heart with me, Sibongile Mofokeng, with you up until 3 o'clock. And at 3 o'clock, Germany, Johan Els will say hello on something else. And yes, my family, it is harvest time. It is time to bring back and reignite the spark back into your marriage, reignite the flame back into your marriage. Babang Dr. Mukwena, but keep the fires burning. So bring back the fire and keep it burning. And yes, I see your beautiful wife wrote in and she says, I'm busy working, but you know, she was born and then the next thing she knows, she heard her name. And she says, thank you for the compliment, my love. Oh, that is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. And here's a family member here who says, Bongile, I'd like to remain anonymous. Thank you so much for today's topic. So if you're working with your spouse, you see him 24 hours, how do you reignite the spark? Because he's right there all the time. Dr. Mukwena?
Very, very interesting and a very relevant question. And I think this is where a lot of times the roommate syndrome easily settles in. And the reason is because we get so familiar with each other, but also because we are unable to create the boundary between work and marriage. And this is also happens a lot in especially ministry. You find that we take ultimately ministry issues into our marriage and marriage issues into our ministry. And I always say the first thing that God created was man, and with man, God created marriage before you could even create church. So all the other things flow from this unit working together, including children, relatives, and so on. So I think The important part first, I would advise family, create boundaries. And part of it is if you follow these five steps that we mentioned, that should also help. And especially the issue of scheduling times for your marriage, specifically to say dating and so on. So it's very important that we schedule such times specifically. We don't miss that important opportunity of having that time just with us.
All right, time is flying. So I'm going to take this call. It's going to be the first and the last because our time is so up. Yo, hi, family. How are you?
I'm okay as well. This is Bongile.
I'm so awesome, Babu Nkosi. I'm going to ask you to run like you've never done before. You're not in the marathon, Namhlanje. Let's do that, Babu Nkosi.
Inkinga ekhosta lento lena mina manje ngiyibhekile.
Yeah.
Sine sifuna izizathu zokuthanda amakhosikazi wethu nokuthanda abayeni bethu.
Yeah.
Angimthandi ngoba ngimshadile, ngimthanda ngoba enza kahle. Andake angiboni ukuthi ukhona umshado wena ngaceda 1 year or 6 months nje kungabi naphutha. Uma kuba namaphutha ngiwabhala phansi.
Yo.
Ngiyawa rekhoda namaphutha lawa azobulala lespark uma ngiloku ngiwabhale phansi ngiwarekhoda and akunawubalula ukuthi sivuke ngoba kufanele kuqale i-raise lamaphutha la engqondweni yami ngaphambi kokuba kuvuke lespark.
Oh, thank you so much, Babu Nkosi. Babu Nkosi basically talks about putting on like files, putting files. Whenever you spark that, your spouse does something wrong, you write down, you put it in a file, you put it there, and you keep referring to it. And he says it's going to be very difficult to reignite the spark because now there are files there. There are many files that are there that one has put out for their spouse. And because people seek for reasons why they should love their spouses. Ah, thank you so much, Babu Nkosi, for that. Makitikhare Kwi says, wow, you are not disappointing. And he, excited. I don't know if we have time. I'm going to ask you to run, Dr. Semi. The first question says, is how long should a couple be in premarital counseling? The second one, can you repeat the first word S? So I have 1 minute.
Okay. So in terms of how long should a couple be in premarital counseling, really it depends on the counselors. I usually say the lessons that I give almost 6 months, but you can compress that into 3 months. But you must give yourself enough time for premarital counseling because you are preparing for a lifetime. I think the next one, the first S, we spoke about spiritual connection. So the first issue when you want to deal with reigniting the flame is to work on your spiritual connection.
I should say that we need to come back, Dr. Semi, and very soon so that we can wrap it up. What are your closing statements for today? And please let us know where we can get hold of you.
Thank you so much again, family. I'm available on Facebook as Semi Mukwena. Please follow. I always post on every Tuesday some of these lessons that we share. You can DM me on all the social medias. I'm Semi Mukwena on all the social medias. And I think I just want to encourage couples that let's work on our marriages. We must never relax. We must always be on the guard. And trust God for the rest.
Thank you so much. May the Lord keep keeping you together with your wife and your family until we talk to you again and hopefully very soon. Kiboni Kimankan Makiti saying, please, doctor, when I said he will come back, please, doctor, he will definitely come back and we will try to have him very soon so that we can wrap up and we will pray for our couples on that day. May the Lord keep keeping you, Dr. Semi. Thank you so much.
Blessings to you and family. Have a lovely day.
And I am signing out, my family. You and I are meeting tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at 12 on Heart to Heart. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of our Lord Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. And we say hello to Germany. Johan Els, leaving you with the sounds of African roots featuring Philly Fire. And the song is Malibongwe.
Faith, hope, and love. Experience victory in your life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.